Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you're just so good. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Just thank you for your word, Lord, that goes in power and authority. Thank you, Father, that we will be doers of your word. Thank you for the spirit of revelation in the room. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here tonight. We honor your presence. We honor you, Jesus. You're so precious. You're so good, so faithful. Lord, would you open up our eyes to see you in a different way tonight? Would you open up our ears to hear the love song of the Father tonight? Father, I just commit my words to you. Lord, if there's anything I shouldn't say, shut my mouth. If there's anything I should say that I would say to boldness and authority, I thank you, Father, for what you want to do tonight. Thank you for freedom in the room, because you're in the room. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name. Amen. I already need a tissue. Can I have a tissue? See, when I tear up even a little bit, my nose is like a waterfall. Thank you. I'll just take the box, actually. Just give me the box. You'll give me a minute, right? What did you say? Don't pick on me, brother. Okay. I want to open up with a scripture. Oh, thank you. Thank you, friend. Oh, I love you. Yeah. Hopefully that won't fall. Okay, I want to open up with a scripture. And it's in Luke 5. Five 37 through 39. We're gonna kind of break down this scripture a little bit. You guys like to do that? Do you guys like to kind of get deep? Can we get deep tonight? Okay, so this is the New King James Version. And it says, "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst and the wineskins, reread. I promise you, I read this like 50 times. Okay, 37. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the new wineskin, or the wineskins, and be spilled. And the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better." So I want to break down a few words in this scripture. And I'll give you the definitions, but then we're going to read the scripture again with the definitions in there. So preserve, it means closely together with. Preserve close together with close care. Keep intact, safe. I preserve, keep safe, keep in mind, keep close. Desires is wanting what is best or optimal because someone is ready and willing to act. Is commonly used of the Lord extending his best offer to the believer, desiring to birth his persuasion faith in them, which also empowers and manifests his presence. Better is manageable, mild, pleasant, opposed to harsh, hard, sharp, bitter, of things pleasantry. It's more pleasant. So we could read this scripture like this. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But the new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved closely together with close care. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, or is willing and ready to accept and act on what is God's best for them. For he says the old is more manageable or more pleasant. Right? Golly, like, so good. It goes even deeper. Are you ready? Man. When I was reading it, I was getting blessed. I was just like, and I'm preaching to myself. I just want to say that first and foremost, I ain't got this perfect. I'm a work in progress. So everything that I'm saying here, I'm saying to myself too. So I don't want you to think that I've arrived or whatever, whatever that means. So in other translations, the new wine, it says new fermenting wine. And I don't know if you know how fermenting wine works, because I didn't, and I had to Google it. Thank God for Google sometimes. And I come across this article. And it says, are you ready? Get ready. You can't put new wine in an old wineskin. We already know this. But why? When wine is new, it is in a state of fermentation. The process of fermentation involved in making wine, in which sugars are converted to ethyl alcohol, it bubbles and expands as the fermentation gases are released. A fresh, pliable wineskin can absorb such expansion and slowly age with the wine until the fermentation process is complete. If you were to put the new wine into old wineskin while it's still fermenting, it will expand and burst, and the old wineskin and the wine will just be ruined. The old wineskin has assumed a definite shape and is no longer pliable. So I used to kind of think about this scripture, and immediately I would think that it was about like the Holy Spirit wanting to fill us, and we're the wineskins, and that's true. Holy Spirit wants to fill us. But there's a specific point that he was trying to make here, because he was talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees did not believe who he said he was. They didn't believe he was the Messiah, the chosen one, the one they had been waiting for years. He was standing right in front of them, the deliverer. So he was telling them, unless you become pliable and accept me as Lord and Savior of your life, you cannot be filled, because it's going to take humility and faith to go into this next season, because there's one that comes after me, and that is the Holy Spirit. So the first layer of wineskin, new wineskin, if you will, is accepting Jesus. That's our first step. And then it's the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So the question that I want to ask you guys tonight is, how pliable are you? And I have to ask myself this a lot. Are we like the Pharisees? Because they're so sad, you see. You know that song? I relief in there. They're so sad because they don't have Jesus. They're stiff-necked and full of pride, independent from God. I've got this. I got the people, the position, the power. I can do this on my own. Submit myself to you, Jesus? You have to be crazy. You're the carpenter's son. Who do you think you are? That was what the Pharisees were like. Or are we like the new wineskin that's pliable, where we say, yes, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. This is so difficult, God. I need your help. I need your wisdom and strength in this situation. Would you mold me and make me the way you want? This hurts, God, but I know you are correcting me because you love me. In our life, we're gonna go through process, and maybe more than one. In fact, definitely more than one. And even in the process, you're gonna go through a process, and our whole life is a process. And we can either be moldable and pliable or dry and brittle. We can either allow Holy Spirit to grow us up and make us a sweet-smelling fragrance, or stay stubborn and hard-headed and stink to high heavens. You ever heard that one? Is that a country thing? Stink to high heavens. I grew up in the country, just in case you didn't know. Yeah, it's in the country. Yeah. Well, I mean, in a way it is biblical, because he did say in there, you're not a sweet smelling aroma, you stink in my nostrils. He literally says that one time. Yeah, stink to high heaven, exactly. So encounters and experiences with God are important. But if it doesn't change you on the inside, then what is it for? You have to steward the encounter and experience. It's great what happens to you, but it's greater what happens in you. What you do with what happens to you matters. I've had a lot of God encounters and experiences, and I don't want to sound old because I'm not really like old, I'm 31, but I have had a lot of God encounters in my life. Like when I was a teenager, I experienced the presence of God. I got so wrecked, like so wrecked. And I remember having groups of friends, and we all got wrecked by God. Like, we just got wrecked by God and just branded by him. And we would fall on the floor and shake and, you know, and all of, you know, that stuff. But I think what really stretched all of that is that we got into the Word. We got into the Word of God. It got deep inside of us. It became a foundation that we could stand on. We can have fun, right, guys?
Right.
Okay. So serious. John, I love you. Okay, back to serious. There's this other chapter in the Bible in Jeremiah 18. Where the Lord is, I'm not going to read it, so, you know, you don't have to turn there, you can read it on your own, but I'm going to paraphrase, where the Lord is telling Jeremiah to speak to the Israelites about the potter and the clay, and the potter being God and the clay being Israel, and Israel is not being moldable right now. They refuse God's word, and they want to kill the prophet. They allowed idols in their life. They became brittle and dry and rigid and wanted to do their own thing. And God had already told them several times that you shall not have any other God before me. Now listen to this. He says, I am the Lord your God who delivered you out of Egypt. I am the one who fed you in the desert. I am the one who gave you water when you were thirsty. It's like you can hear him saying, I am. I am what you are looking for. I am the only one who can satisfy you. I am the well that doesn't run dry. I am the bread of life. I'm the source of life. I'm your deliverer, your healer, your strong tower, your safe place. I am the fire that lights up the darkness. I am the cloud that guides you. I'm the beginning and the end. I am all that you need if you just will come to me. I'm kind of reading the Bible all the way through, and this is kind of like a new thing, and I highly recommend it. I used to think that like the Old Testament was like kind of boring. I'm not gonna lie. I won't lie. But now when I read it, oh my gosh. There is so, oh my goodness, there's so much depth. There's so much depth and in the stories. They're not stories, it's really history. You can just see the tapestry of the Father, like his heart for his people. He longs for Israel to just come and be with him. He wanted to meet with them at the mountain, and it scared them. Like they were scared. And it was like God just wanted to give them a huge hug. Like, finally you're free. Let's hug. But they were scared. They're like, no, Moses, you go. You be the close one. I'm gonna stay at the distance. You can't find satisfaction and the longing of your heart without him. He fills every part of your heart. Everything that you're longing for, he fills it. He's the only one who can fill it. The only one. And even after you receive him, you will still need to be pliable because he's going to want to do some heart surgery on you now. He's going to want to move some things around and transform you because what does it say? Let's go back to Luke 5, verse 38. Now, new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved close together with close care. Okay, you've accepted him. Now you're the new wineskin. And the fermentation process has begun. Holy Spirit's in there. And he's moving things around. And he's showing you things that need to change. Man, don't we just love that? I love that for you. Like, you change. No, okay. it's hard sometimes. It's, hello? Like, we don't like to be stretched. It's uncomfortable. Like, so the next scripture says, and no one having drunk old wine immediately desires the new, or is willing and ready to accept and act on what is God's best for them. For he says the old is more manageable or more pleasant. Yes, it's comfortable. So there's a crucifying of the flesh, the old ways, the old habits, the old trails we used to blaze, and a submitting that needs to take place. And some things will be easier than others to submit to God. Yeah. I submit my fear. Yes, Lord, take it. Wait, submit my job? My friend? My husband? What? No, I'm just gonna hide that part. You know, like, no, he wants everything. And let me just say, it's just easier to give it to him now. just do it. Just do it. Just lay it down. Like, man, just so much better. Let it go. Okay, no, I won't get that song in your head. Sorry. Okay. Getting stretched and getting outside your comfort zone is not always moving out. Sometimes it's making you stay still. Some of us want to run away, and God is saying stay. And some of us might want to stay, but God is saying move. See, he decides when you move and when you stay. And if you're humble, you'll hear and obey. You wanted to rhyme it. I knew you did. John just helping me. He's tagged. We're tag teaming. Let me give you another example. How about fear? Now, I know I just said fear. We think it's easy to give it away, but fear can become a God to us. It's shielding us. We're putting up walls. It's our shield. What does it say in the word that David said, "You are my shield"? So is fear your shield and protector? Or is God your shield and protector? Worry. Has worry consumed your mind? No, let me just stop right here. Because, yeah. Let me just tell you right now, this week and last week, I've known that I was going to speak for almost about a month now, I think. And for 2 weeks, I was so stressed. Like, I was so stressed. Talk about worry. Like, confusion, swirling thoughts. So I've had to apply what I am saying right now to you. I'm not even joking. And I know that it's so hard in the moment. I know it's so hard. But it's worship to God when we surrender. Has worry consumed your mind and you can't worship, can't praise, there's no joy? Has it set up a stronghold in your mind? See, what does the word say? Also, he is my strong tower. He's my stronghold. So is worry your stronghold, or is God your stronghold? Pride. I know. Had to deal with that too. Still dealing with it sometimes. Have you made yourself a God? I can do this on my own, in my own strength, in my own power, on my own timeline. God, I got this. I was going to play a video. I saw this video one time, and it was kind of funny. It was a funny video, okay? But it's so true and relatable to this. There was this guy, and he did like a little skit, and God was driving, and he was in the back seat. And so he gets into the car. He's like, "Hey, God, all right, drive. All right, you go ahead." And then they start driving down the road, and then he's like, "Oh, I think you missed a turn. We're not going to turn that way, okay. Oh, sin, hey." No, roll up the window. Oh, okay. Like, he wanted to be a backseat driver, and sometimes we want to be that way. Like, we want to be like, "God, are you sure?" Like, he's not God. Hello? Like, he didn't make you or, like, everyone else. Unforgiveness. Have you given that person over to the just judge? Because he's only the just judge. Okay. I have had times, and I'm not even talking about like just the past couple of weeks, but I've had times when I have felt so stressed that I can't even sleep at night. Or it's been very hard to get to sleep. And I needed to ask the question, why am I so stressed, Lord? What lie am I believing? What is your truth? Before I knew him, maybe it would have been, man, I feel so stressed. I don't even know what's going on. I hate this. I hate that. If only this person would have done this and that. And why would they have said that? They made me stress. That's what it was. They made me stress. They stressed me out. Man, if I'm stressed about my stress, then we got problems. But it's nothing God can't fix, because he's so good. So what do we do when stress comes? Do we complain about it, or do we bring it to God and ask him about it? And how can we fix it? If we are grumbling and complaining about it, then we're no better than the Israelites in the desert who grumbled and complained. I'm hungry, Lord. I'm thirsty. Can't we have something different? Did you just deliver us out of Egypt to kill us in the desert? When the provider was there, the deliverer was there, the one who loved them was there. But Moses was the only one who took the time to get close. They had been delivered out of Egypt physically, but now they needed to get Egypt out of their hearts. And I'm not saying this to condemn you, but to invite you. Because this is not just for you. This is for the people that you will touch in your lifetime. This is for your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your neighbor, your friend, your church, your parents. Yep, it reverses timelines too. Your freedom can free your parents. Your freedom will free your children. And there is room at the table. And the Lord wants to dismantle lies and bring truth. He wants to free you and heal you and love on you and give you peace. You don't have to do things on your own. There is no striving in him. And I have to remind myself of this sometimes daily. And we don't have to beg for it. You just have to yield to him. There's no begging. If you're his, if you received him as Lord and Savior of your life, there's no begging anymore. You're his child. Colossians 1, 18 through 23 in the Passion Translation. It says, he is the head of his body, which is the church. And since he is the beginning and the firstborn heir in resurrection, he is the most exalted one, holding first place in everything. For God is satisfied to have all his fullness, all of us, dwell in Christ. And by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. Even though you were once distant from him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions, he reconnected you back to himself. He released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as a sin payment on your behalf so that you would dwell in his presence. And now there is nothing between you and Father God, for he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored, if indeed you continue to advance in faith, assured of a firm foundation to grow upon. Never be shaken from the hope of the gospel you've believed in. And this is the glorious news I preach all over the world. He says you need to continue. It doesn't just end here. It doesn't just end in receiving or encountering Jesus. Things change when he walks into the room, but things change even more when he walks into your heart and you allow him access into the deep parts of you. You let him change things. You let him rearrange things. This is one of my favorite scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 through 24. And this is in the Amplified. It says, may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, separate you from profane things, make you pure and wholly consecrated to God, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved. You know that's the same word. You know that's the same word as what we just read in about the new wine. Preserved, sound, and complete, and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ the Messiah. Faithful is he who is calling you to himself, and utterly trustworthy. And he will also do it, fulfill his call by hallowing and keeping you. We don't have to strive. We just have to yield.
There's got to be a way to add to that. You can hide it from
he preserves us. I'm going to read another scripture. This is another one of my favorite scriptures. I love the Passion Translation. Anybody get into the Passion Translation?
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Even though it's really two, it's actually four.
This is Song of Songs 2:10-15. I just want you to just listen. Just listen. Just if you can close your eyes and listen, just listen. Because this is the King of Kings. This is the bridegroom who is speaking to his bride. Arise, my dearest. Hurry, my darling. Come away with me. I've come as you asked to draw you to my heart and lead you out. For now is the time, my beautiful one. The season has changed. The bondage of your barren winter has ended, and the season of hiding is over and gone. The rains have soaked the earth and left it bright with blossoming flowers. The season for singing and pruning with the vines has arrived. I hear the cooing of doves in our land, filling the air with songs to awaken you and guide you forth. Can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purposes and plans are bursting forth. The budding vines of new life are now blooming everywhere. The fragrance of whispers, there is change in the air. Arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place. For now is the time to arise and come away with me, for you are my dove hidden in the split open rock. It was I who took you and hid you up high in the secret stairway of the sky. Let me see your radiant face and hear your sweet voice. How beautiful your eyes of worship, and lovely your voice in prayer.
You must catch the troubling foxes, those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship, for they raid our budding vineyard of love to ruin what I've planted within you. Will you catch them and remove them for me? We will do it together. We will do it together. We will do it together. He wants to do it with you. It's not, again, it's not about striving. It's not about, come on, be righteous. Be righteous. Come on, just be righteous. Get it together, Hannah. Get it together. Why can't you get this right? Why can't you just be free? Why can't you just do this? It's not about that. It's about, Father God, will you help me? I can't do this by myself. I need you. We're always going to need him. We don't outgrow that. We never outgrow needing him. This is a dance and a relationship with him. And you submit and humble yourself. He comes and tends to the garden in you. Will you let him? Will you let him? He says to you tonight, I am the Lord your God who delivered you out of Egypt. I am the one who fed you in the desert. Can I have my worship team come up, please? I am the one who gave you water when you were thirsty. He's saying, I am, I am, I am. I am what you are looking for. I am the only one who can satisfy you. I am the well that doesn't run dry. I always have enough at the table for you. I never run out. There's full supply, and there's things that have your name specifically on it for you. I'm the bread of life. I'm the source of life. I'm your deliverer. I'm your healer. I'm your strong tower, your safe place. I'm the fire that lights up the darkness. I am the cloud that guides you. I am the beginning and the end. I am all that you need if you will just come to me. If you will just come to me. Just come, Jesus. Father, we don't have to dramatize this for you. You're good all in yourself. You're the best. You're good. You're kind. You're so patient. You're so patient, so beautiful. If you just want him, if you don't know him, if you don't know him as your deliverer, if you don't know him as I've described tonight, if you don't know him, that you can't run to him, you feel like you can't run to him because you're scared and you're ashamed, he says, I'm here and my arms are wide open for you tonight. There's no need to run away. I have fire in my eyes for you. Love for you. Love for you, love for you, love for you, healing for you. He's so good, guys. He's so good. So if you want him, he's here. If you want him, he's here. All you gotta do is just say it. All you gotta do is just say, I want you. I want you, Lord. And again, we don't have to beg for this because he's been waiting. He's been waiting for this moment. He's been waiting for this moment when you would just come to him. He never left for a second, even when you weren't with him, even when you were running away from him, he never left you. He just was waiting for you to turn around and embrace him. So he's right there. He's right there, and he loves you so much. He loves you with a passionate, deep love that's beyond words. So, Father, I just ask that you would encounter hearts tonight. Encounter our hearts tonight, Lord. Love on us, Lord. Love on us. Speak to us, Lord. Show us things, Lord, that need to be moved around. Show us things that we need to do, that we need to say, that we need to submit, Father.